Hey guys, this is Ryan Bain. Thanks for listening to this week's message. Hope that this blesses you.
There's pretty cool things happening in the basement. There's been a couple of weeks that he's really moved in healing. And cool thing is, we don't know what he's going to do tonight, but I believe that he's here. And I do have a word that I want to share. There's a lot about tonight that feels different to me, because number one, I don't typically sit down and talk. I'm a pacer and I move around. And so the fact that I am like tied to this stool is like a miracle. and it feels a little bit more like a teaching. And so here's what we're going to do tonight. When Ryan asked me to speak, my mind immediately went to where I'd been hanging out in 1 Kings 17. And it's one of my favorite chapters in the entire Old Testament. I don't even know why, but for the last 15 years, there's something about the story of Elijah and the things that happen in that chapter that just stir my heart, really for the supernatural and his, you know, just being led by his voice. And so as I read and meditated on 1 Kings 17, I felt like he wanted us to read that tonight. And so all we're going to do is read probably 15 verses or so in 1 Kings 17. I'm pretty bummed that I don't know that it's in the Passion Translation, so I'm going to read it from the New King James. But I want to, as I think about that chapter, I want to kind of talk about Elijah's beginning of his ministry in like three chapters, like the first three chapters of his ministry. I feel like there's relevance for you and I. There's relevance for Awakening Church, and honestly, I think for anybody who walks with the Lord. So if you want to follow along, you can. 1 Kings 17, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Verse 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab," Ahab was a king in the northern kingdom of Israel, and it says, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." And so a lot of us are maybe familiar with this prophecy, but as I considered this text, I thought, the crazy thing is, like, this is the first time that we're introduced to the prophet Elijah, and he's giving a word to the king of Israel, and it is not a pleasant word. And so that got my mind thinking about, like, who is this man? Like, where did he come from? How did he just come on the scene as this full-fledged prophet? I mean, even in the New Testament, he's kind of legendary. At the Transfiguration, he's one of the three people that are there chatting it up with Jesus. The book of James references Elijah as a man just like you and I, but he prayed and shut up the heavens for like 3 years. And so I'm like, who is this guy? And I don't have any historical records. Scripture doesn't really tell us about like where he came from, other than what we see right here in verse 1. It says that Elijah was a Tishbite. I'm assuming that his city was Tishbe in the region of Gilead. Like, that's what we know about him. And what we do know of Gilead is it's kind of a rural community. And if you'll let me just kind of, I mean, have some liberty. It's not in the text, but I thought, here's what I probably know about Elijah, is that he stewarded the gift and the call that was on his life in those small places. And I don't know how long he stewarded it, but you don't show up as a prophetic intercessor on the national scene if you didn't steward what you had in the quiet place and in the unknown place and in the Gilead, you know, in the rural place. And I, again, I don't know really what was going on, but I think the encouragement for me, hopefully the encouragement to you, is we all have gifts and callings. We've all been called according to His purposes. What we have been invited to do is steward it well, wherever we're at, period, and walk in intimacy with Him. And, you know, Ryan's had us in Acts 13 a lot, and I love that passage of Scripture where it's talking about the church there, and it says they're ministering to the Lord in fasting and prayer, and the Holy Spirit, boom, spoke and pulled out Barnabas and Saul and sent them. And the reality of it is, you've been given a gift, I've been given a gift, we need to steward that. And that's our responsibility, is to steward it, and then His responsibility is to position us in the kingdom when and where He wants us to be. And again, I'm not getting that from the text. I just love the story of Elijah. And for the first time as I read it this week, I'm thinking, what's the behind the scenes? Like, what happened before he hit the national scene? And if I know anything about what I read throughout Scripture, is that he had to have stewarded it well, or God's not calling him there. Okay? So that's the first thing that I saw in Scripture. I think it's a kingdom principle. Steward what you have. And, you know, I think God found Elijah wherever he was at in Gilead, doing whatever he was doing. And I thought, too, how many people in Gilead were living in the fruit of Elijah's prophetic intercessory gift and calling? Like, if you were to go back, how many people would say he before the world knew him, before the nation of Israel knew him, before he showed up to the palace that one day, like, he was really, really hearing God and praying for our nation. You know, that's just my imagination. I don't know, but it encouraged me. So let's move on into scene two, which is really the opening scene of his ministry. But verse 2 in 1 Kings 17, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. That stirs my heart right there. The word of the Lord coming to someone. And says, the word of the Lord says, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went, and he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And I think we see a couple of times in this chapter of Elijah's life, the importance of being led by the preceding word of the Lord. And we've talked about that a lot at Awakening, and even recently, you know, Ryan has been talking about that we are a people that are moving to His voice. You know, we are responding to the word of the Lord. We are led by His voice. The Old Testament and the New Testament speak of that we do not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. And I think that's why for the last 15 years I've been enamored at Elijah, because I see that he was a man who, again, I believe was a man of intimacy and walked with God, but when he heard the word of the Lord, he responded appropriately. And God did amazing things with him. I think one of the most important lines in that scripture that I just read is verse 5. It says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed at the brook Cherith. Why did he go to the brook Cherith? That's like the cutting place. Why did he go there? Everything I've been able to read and research, he was there for 12 to 18 months. Why did he go there? Because that's where the Lord told him to go. That's where the Lord told him to go. And, have you ever been alone for 18 months? I mean, 18 hours is rough. 18 days is brutal. But 18 months, just you and God and the brook and the ravens and the bread and the meat, it's all you got. And I'm enamored, that God would call him to do that and he would respond. Because there was going to come a time that he would confront Ahab and the prophets of Baal, but now was not the time. Now was the time to go into hiding under the leading of the Lord. So you got to know when to fight and when to hide. But at the end of the day, it's about responding to his voice. That's the safest place we'll ever be. Is responding to his voice. One of my favorite shows that I've ever watched, and I don't even watch it anymore, but I like it, is the show called Alone on the Discovery Channel. It's like this survivalist, competition where they take 10 people who are like diehard survivalists and they drop them out in like just, crazy conditions. They have no contact with one another, no contact with the outside world. And it literally is last man standing wins $1 million. And you don't even know, how many people are left. And they film themselves. It's crazy. And, Jennifer and I watched the first couple of episodes or the first couple of seasons. And one of the things that I took away from it was that isolation can drive you crazy. Like, it literally was messing with their mental health, just being alone. And these were diehard survivalists. So I'm thinking about our guy Elijah. 18 months. Let's just say it's 12. That's still a lot. But again, isolation, you lose your mind, unless that's where the Lord's hiding you. And if he is, you enjoy God. You hone your intercessory skills. You drink from the brook. You eat the bread and the meat that comes in the morning. You eat the bread and the meat that comes in the evening. You hone your intercessory skills. And you enjoy God until he calls you somewhere else. It's the safest place that you can be. And as I thought about what those 18 months would have been like, I believe that they were very, very formative for Elijah. Because you think about what we know of Elijah's ministry and what it would become. I mean, just around the corner, he's going to encounter a widow. And that's going to not only stretch the widow, but it's going to stretch Elijah the prophet. He's going to have to raise that young boy from the dead. There's going to come a day where he's going to challenge the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. There's going to come a day where he's going to identify Elisha as his understudy, and he's going to raise up a school of prophets. Like, all of these things, I believe there was a foundation being poured by the brook Cherith for, again, 12 or 18 months. And I think the important message for me that I would share with you, I think it has relevancy for anybody who walks with the Lord and wants to steward the gift and the call in their life, it's very important that we're led by the word of the Lord and not get anxious. Not get anxious. Because I thought about like 18 months is a long time for Elijah to work up some strategy of how he's going to take out Ahab and he's going to take out the prophets of Baal. It would have been a long time and enough time to build that school of ministry and raise up other prophets. But that's not what God called him to do. He was in hiding by the brook being fed by ravens. That's wild. And so if you have any bit of like anxiety and what's next and where am I doing and what am I, and you know, I think that even as a church, we can kind of maybe feel that sometimes. And my encouragement is, what did the Lord tell you to do? And has he changed his mind? And if he hasn't changed his mind and he hasn't given you a new word, settle down. Keep drinking from the brook. Keep enjoying his presence. Keep stewarding the gift that is upon your life. And let him lead by his voice. So that's a huge encouragement to me. I hope that it's encouraging to you. So the other thing that I took from this scene of Elijah's life is that God's provision may not always look like you think it's going to look. Right? One of God's covenant names, I love all the covenant names, but one of his covenant names is Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord, your provider. That's who he is. Okay? But he never promised his provision would make sense and fit within your framework and fit within your experience or fit within your expectations, right? And I think we have to kind of put ourselves in Elijah's shoes. He's being fed by ravens as an Israelite, right? And I'm thinking to myself, is there not a better way to feed the man of God? You know, could we not deliver an angel with the bread and the meat? Like, could we not, like, have a family member, like, occasionally DoorDash him some food? Like, what are we doing here? We are bringing ravens. And if you read the book of Leviticus, as an Israelite, like, that's an unclean animal. A raven is a scavenger, eats the meat of dead animals. And that is the vehicle of provision that he brings to Elijah. For 18 months, he's staring at these ravens that are coming consistently and bringing bread and meat. And I'm thinking, is it filet mignon or is it like roadkill? You know? I don't know. But I'm hoping it's filet. But one of my favorite lines in this scene of Elijah's ministry, and actually we'll see it in the next scene with the widow, but one of my favorite scenes, and again, probably one of the reasons I love this chapter, is God says, I have commanded the ravens to feed you. And I don't know about you, but as one who's reliant upon the provision of the Lord, it's so like inspiring and encouraging to know that our God, as he's looking upon us, just responding to his voice, in love with him, walking in intimacy, that he is in heaven, releasing and commanding things that will provide for us. And for us, it may not be ravens, it may be something else. But it may not look like you thought it was going to look like. And it may not fit your previous framework. Like the last time he provided, it looked like this, and it was this amount. But now it's this, and it like catches you off guard. But again, he's Jehovah Jireh, and he commands provision, whether it's a raven or a job opportunity or someone, you know, that's giving. I mean, look at that. He gave you the use of something that you really needed for your business. So I just love that. And it encourages me as one, again, who's reliant upon the Lord. I cannot do this without him. But to know he's commanding the ravens. He's commanding later in this story the widow to provide for Elijah. So don't get hung up on the how. Just know that he will. Right? Okay. I had a timer here that I didn't even start, so I have no idea. I don't know that we need to read the whole portion for the widow, but this would be the chapter 3 of Elijah's ministry. So the one I just kind of made up. It was like the behind the scenes, like maybe what if, like, you know, before he gets called to ministry. Chapter 1 or scene 1 is when he shows up and he's doing his thing. I guess the next scene would be, you know, where he's at the brook and he's being fed supernaturally and he's in hiding. But I think also there's some formative work that's being done in Elijah, because my goodness, he has an amazing ministry ahead of him. Some ups and downs and all the things, but I think he's doing a formative work. But I'll start in verse 7. I probably won't read the whole thing, but I just love some of the verbiage that's in this text. It says, and it happened after a while, and again, maybe 18 months, okay, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. When the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise. That's a beautiful word. It's like, get up, Elijah. Now is the time. Go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, here's this phrase again. I have commanded a widow to provide for you. So first it was, I've commanded the ravens, supernatural provision. This next one is, I've commanded a widow. And I did think this week, I'm like, did Elijah think, okay, we're upgrading, you know? We're upgrading this widow. She's got to be wealthy. Like, she's got to be managing some five-star Israeli resort. Like, this is where we're going. We're getting up and out of the brook. Those ravens, the days of the ravens are done. You know, this widow's got to have something that's better than where I've been. No. No. She's actually preparing her last meal for her and her son. And she was fixing to die. She was throwing the towel in, because that's how bad the famine was. That's how bad the drought was. And if you, most of us in this room probably know the story, that, you know, he asks her to, you know, okay, go prepare your last meal, but make me a meal as well. And you know, she's challenged. I mean, that's a crazy ask, right? But she does, and the Lord provides, you know, for a long, long time. And I just see in her response, I see it in Elijah's response, that provision and destiny lie on the other side of obedience. And I know sometimes it's like obedience is this word that we don't want to talk about, but I think it's a beautiful part of the love relationship that we have with God, because it's an indicator that he has my heart, and like, I trust him. So if I'm Elijah and I've been hanging out with him and kind of getting used to this whole raven life, you know, and he says, arise, go to Zarephath, there's a widow there, that I'm not debating with him. I'm not trying to negotiate with him. I'm not saying, can you tell me a little bit more about this widow? Like, no, it's arise and go. Arise and go. And I love that about Elijah. And then this widow, like, she had to feel the anointing of God on his life, or how are you going to give away your last meal, right? But it's in doing so and obeying the word of the Lord that came through the prophet, that it unlocked supernatural provision. It didn't make sense. The cupboard would not have made sense, but God did it anyway, and it's all connected to obedience. And so our provision, our destiny, our call, the purpose on our life is all connected to just hearing the voice of God, responding to the preceding word of the God, and trusting him enough to just do it, even when he doesn't spell it all out. Like, he didn't know all the things. He didn't know what the brook was going to look like. He didn't know what the whole scenario with the widow was going to look like. But he trusted the word of the Lord, and he responded. And so I think the last word that I would share with us, and I include myself, is, act on what you do have. Because I believe that often God, what he gives us, it comes in parts. Like, you're not going to get the full picture. Some of us do. Often we don't. It's like, just act on what you have. Be obedient with that, and the rest will come. And be faithful to finish that thing out. Like, if he told you to do something, finish that and do that. And don't get anxious. Don't get stir crazy, but just do what the Lord told you to do. So if I could summarize it, and so what I would do, I didn't read all the text, so I would challenge you to go and read those first 17 verses of 1 Kings 17 with some of these kingdom principles that we talked about tonight, like the preceding word of the Lord and how that has to be central to the way that we move as revivalists, right? And, not getting hung up on how God provides, but just trusting that he will provide and not despising the way that he is providing, right? And then just the idea that provision and destiny come on the other side of obedience. And obedience is not, it's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's actually a beautiful thing that I think unlocks provision. It unlocks our purpose and our destiny and our calling. So you have a gift. I know you have a gift. And you have a calling. And my encouragement to you is to spend time in the quiet place, wherever that is, for as long as that is. And foster that intimacy and grow in that gift. And God will take us where it's like he's moving us around like pieces on a chessboard for his glory, and so that the kingdom of heaven can come to earth. So I'm going to lead us into worship. I'm just going to pray, ask the Lord to seal this word, and then we're just going to go into worship. And
thank you for listening to Awakening Church's Message of the Week. If you would like to partner and connect with us in transforming culture to mirror the kingdom through prayer, presence, and family, you have the opportunity to give. You can go to give@awakeningky.com. Like and subscribe, and let's transform culture to mirror the kingdom together. Have a blessed day.